So we'll talk about what Rosh Hashanah is, what's the goal, the expectations, and also touch upon what in the world is Teshuvah. Roy Charter told us a story at the opening meetings, the orientation, that he met someone in Eretz Yisrael who went through the yeshiva system for elementary school and high school, but for his year in Eretz Yisrael he went to Har Sameach. Now he's in Shaar Yashuv. Because somehow during the whole course of his yeshiva career, he never figured out what Yiddishkeit is all about. So he went to a Baal Tshuva yeshiva to hear the hashkafa of being Jew. Why are we doing all these things? So he probably felt more comfortable being able to ask questions in those yeshivas, because that's their business to answer these questions. So since then, I've been asking myself a question, because it's something I know for myself. When I'm in class, I throw this line around all the time. Being close to God. So, if anyone has a good answer for me, what being close to God is, because to me it's like, it's not tangible, so what is it? So in the same vein, especially this time of year, you walk into class, and you just throw out the word Teshuva 50 times an hour. Teshuva, Teshuva, Teshuva. We all got to do Teshuva. What is Teshuva? You know the steps. You have to admit that you did something wrong, feel bad you did something wrong, make a commitment for the future. Okay, you can go through the steps, but what are you really doing? Bottom line, what does Teshuva mean? So hopefully I'll have time to discuss a little bit of that also. 11 years ago, Lisa, my wife, gave birth to Zev in the middle of a week before school. So besides missing the first half of school on the first day because of the bris, it was just a very exciting whirlwind of time because you're getting ready for school, new baby, yada, yada, yada. We're also in a new house, so in a way we still might have been moving in, not sure. But it was a lot going on. So I remember one time, I'm holding Zev, there in my arms, and I'm looking at him. It's like a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. I'm saying, what is this baby worth to me? He can't do anything in the house. All he does is baby stuff. He eats, drinks, and we gotta change diapers. Cries in the middle of the night. What's so special about this kid? He does absolutely nothing. He's a parasite, in a way. Then I was thinking, what I'm holding is 100% pure potential. That's what I'm holding. Here's a kid who's right now a few weeks old, incapable of doing anything. But there's that hope that there's this potential inside of him that's going to be unlocked one day, and you see greatness come out from him. So I was thinking, this is what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is the day when we think about ourselves and all the potential that we have inside ourselves. And the commitment is, on Rosh Hashanah, that we're going to try our best to unlock the potential. So Rav Volber explains that we could see this very clearly from a seed. And take Johnny Appleseed, he's throwing apple tree seeds around all over the place. You take that little seed, and inside that seed is all the whole DNA, the whole potential of this tree. You stuff it in the ground, water it, and from it comes the fruit, the leaves, everything comes out from that one little seed. Like anyone who's planted vegetables, you know, you put the seeds in, and then you just watch it turn into a plant. Tomatoes, cucumbers, whatever it is. But it all starts from a seed. And latent inside this seed is all the potential that's waiting to be unlocked. All the potential is in that little seed. And since he says, since we're compared to a tree, all of our great potential is inside of us. All you gotta do is bring it out. So sometimes he says that sometimes shoftim v'shotrim, you need an outside force to bring it out. Sometimes we don't know the potential inside of us until we're challenged to see if we can do something. I remember when I was in Dar Golding many, many decades ago, my division head said, Sandberg, here's a play. I want you to direct it. Play? Direct? You got the wrong man. I can't do this stuff. So he said, just read the script. So I read the script. Forgot what it was about now. I liked the script. So he said, okay, get some kids to be the actors, and direct it. You're going to put it on for the whole camp. Okay. Being naive as I was, fine. But I never believed I can pull it off. But I pulled it off. Maybe not as good as it could have been, but it got pulled off. Play went on. And the kids acted. Another example. This is 1985, I think. No, it has to be 1987. 1987. My yeshiva had like an alumni meeting in Kugon Hills. So I drove him from Muncie, went to the meeting, and the mashgiach said, Yossi, can you make a Shabbaton for the alumni? I suppose. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But it got pulled off. Not only that, we made money on the deal. That was the biggest achievement. And I had to get someone to get a caterer, get people to help with the invitations, get boarding for the people coming from out of town. Because Muncie's in town. So I had to do all that and keep a cheshbon of all the money, get some entertainment for Motzei Shabbos Malav and Malka, twist arms so people would do everything volunteering. So I remember at the end of the Shabbos saying, it happened. And when I actually got the money from the yeshiva to pay the caterer, I was like, wow, it really happened. And we made money. The potential was inside of me, but I needed the challenge to bring it out. So that's what Revolva says. Sometimes we need the external force to bring out the potential inside of us. But that's only b'dieved. He calls that b'dieved. The chachilut should really come from us. We should push ourselves to see what we're really capable of doing. And he brings a raya from a medrash from Parshas Netzavim that Shlomo HaMelech said 7 things about a lazy person. 7 excuses that a lazy person will always come up with. Oh, there's a lion in the street. There's always an obstacle to go to the base medrash. So Moshe said, who says you have to go to the base medrash? V'ficho v'vacho lasoso. The thing is in your mouth and it's in your heart to do. The potential is inside of you. The chachila way is to bring it out yourself and not wait for an external challenge to bring it out. Which, unfortunately, it happens that there are external challenges which forces us to dig deep and bring out the best in us. And then you can look back and say, how in the world did I pull that off? How in the world did I get through that challenge? Because the potential is in there. That's the whole idea of the Nisayon. It's the challenge that God is giving you to show you what you're really capable of doing. To bring out the potential that's just waiting to be unleashed. That's the greatness of inside of us. There's a seed that's just waiting to blossom. One second. There's a Gemara in Nida, very fascinating Gemara, that before the baby is born, a baby is born, says there is a ner dolok lo me'al rosho, there's a flame that's lit on top of his head. He says, Hanu ha'neshama adayin enu mitzumtzemes b'socho guf. That's the neshama that's still not constricted inside the body. That means the neshama somehow is still outside the body, unrestricted. That means it has large range of motion. And sofa misofa olam v'ad sofa. And with this ner, the neshama can see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Umelamdin osa kator kula, and we all know that the Amalek teaches the baby all of Torah. And when he's about to be born, we know he gives a tap on the lip, and the Torah is forgotten. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? It's all deals with potential. When you say, I can't learn, what do you mean you can't learn? It's in you already. It was put in you. Someone told me last week, I asked someone what kind of phone he has. So he says, I don't have an iPhone. I have a Samsung. Okay, he says, I didn't like the iPhone. Too many things. And he said about the Samsung, it's impossible to do all the things that are on the phone. To learn how to do all the tricks and all the gadgets that these smartphones have. It's like almost impossible to figure them all out. He said, I just figured out now that you don't have to touch a button, something, you just wave your hand over the screen and you get the desired effect. But after months, he figured that out. But the potential is in the phone. It was there from the beginning. You just have to unlock it. And once you unlock it, you can really have some cool fun with it, also, I'm assuming. So the same thing inside of us. The Torah is inside of us. The potential is there. You just got to bring it out. How do you bring it out? Some hard work. With some sweating. Blood, sweat, and tears. You got to bring it out. And you could see from one end of the world to the other world. That means that it just shows you how unlimited your potential is inside of you. But the first step is you have to believe it. If you don't believe that you are full of potential, then you're limiting yourself. If you really believe that you can do it, and the potential is inside of you, the seed is inside of you, you can do it. You can bring it out of you. Now, potential works two ways, for Vogel writes. There's good potential, and there's horrible potential. So we have to work on making sure we subdue the bad potential, the rot that's inside of us, and water and cultivate the tov that's inside of us. That's why he says gilui arayis. To me, it's like a chiddush. Gilui arayis, which is we term today adultery, gilui is a revelation that was inside the person that he let come out to the fore. He let the potential of adultery come out. That's a gilui. That's a revelation. So that's when you don't control yourself and you let the bad come out. That's also gilui, a revelation. So we have to work on bringing out the good and subduing the bad. And you find this, what I'm about to say, is based and inspired from Revolver. And that's what you find on Rosh Hashanah. You have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios, as the Gemara says, say psukim of Malchus, so you can make me, God, king over you. Zichronos, say Psukim of Zichronos, so there will be good remembrances by me about you. How do you do that? With the shofar. So Malchus, I think, is easy. Our goal in life is to be Megala, quote Malchuso, in this world. Because, as we discussed before, there's a thing called Hestepanim, where God's presence is hidden under blankets, so to speak, through nature. Our goal is to unlayer God and bring out His revelation, His holiness in the world, through our actions and everyone's actions. If everyone acts the way we're supposed to, there will be a giloy, there will be a revelation of God's holiness in the world. And that's what we're praying for. We're praying for the future, that when Mashiach comes, there will be that giloy of Hashem in the world. So we're asking for a giloy now that people can recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're also davening for the future. And interestingly, how do we start off the psukim, or the tefillah of Malchios? Which word? No, before that, no. It's not just Malchios, but the main tefillah, Kedushas Hayom. Before that, Uvechein Tein Pachtecha. And why do we say the word Uvechein? So Chazal tells us, because since Esther went into the king Achashreyosh, and her tefillah was Uvechein, Anochi Avi El Hamelach, I'm going to enter the king's chamber. So therefore, since Esther started with Uvechein, we start with the word Uvechein. Nice. Why do two things have to do with each other? So a very good friend of mine in Savannah said, I think it's an unbelievable insight. What was the conversation before Esther going into Achashverosh's chamber all about with Mordechai? Esther, you got to do this. I can't do it. I'm not the one to do it. And finally, at the end, he goes, in the end, why do you think you were made queen in the first place? What are the odds of a person like you being picked out of all the women in the country to be the queen? So why do you think you're here? Because you have the potential to do something for Klal Yisrael right now. So when she heard that and she digested it and agreed with it, he says, Uvechein, and therefore, because I recognize what my potential is and what my job is now, I'm going to enter into the king's chamber. I'm going to put it on the line because of the potential that's in me. I'm going to try to bring it out to fruition to save Klal Yisrael. So the word Uvechein is a word that's meaning that I'm ready to fulfill my potential, my tafkid, my purpose. I'm going to do it with Mesiris Nefesh. If I have to die for it, I'll die for it. I'm ready for it. But I'd rather die for it than not try at all. Because, I think as I said before, Esther would have been like a footnote in history if she said no. Now she has a whole book named after her. But she took a chance. She says, I have a purpose. I have potential to do this. I'm going to go for it. Therefore, when we start our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah, we say, Uvechein, Ribbono Shel Olam, I recognize that I have potential. I might have fallen short this past year. And because I recognize I've fallen short this year, therefore, I'm willing to make the commitments that will help me bring out the potential. That's the connection. Uvechein, therefore I'm ready to commit to bring up my potential. Even if it's through an external challenge, I'll accept it, I'm a kabo it. Because my whole goal is to bring up my purpose in life. Because otherwise, you look back at it and you say, what did I do? How did I spend my 70, 80 years here? That's the thing to contemplate. Am I fulfilling my potential? That's the same thing with Malchios. I want the potential of the Ribono Shel Olam's presence to be revealed in its ultimate way. Everyone will recognize the oneness of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's our tafkid. That's our purpose. To try to make that happen. Zichronos, as I hinted to before, remembrance, as I said, as we look back at our year, we have to ask ourselves, did I live up to what I want? Did I live up to my potential? One of the worst things a young athlete can happen to him is that he's called the next Babe Ruth, the next Henry Aaron, the next Tom Seaver. I remember the Mets had a pitcher in the late 70s who was supposed to be the next Tom Seaver. And he pitched two innings for the Mets before he threw out his elbow. I remember watching the game. It was a cold day in Chicago. And he pitched two innings, and his elbow got sore. And he took him out, and that was it. The next Tom Seaver was finished. But it's unfair because you're putting all this pressure on this young kid to be someone who achieved that greatness after 25 years in the major leagues. That's the pressure. So unlike that, we have to ask ourselves, what did we think last year we can become this year? And did I become that? Am I close to becoming that? So therefore, you have to go back and remember from last year what you thought you could have been and see if you really match up. And that's what Hashem is going to remember also on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is remembering what potential you had for the past year, and did you reach it? Which is a very scary thought. Because who here could say, I really reached my potential? There's a Mishnah in Avos that says, one of the things that can stop you from sinning is to remember who you're going to give a din, b'cheshbon, in front of. Din is a judgment, cheshbon is a calculation. So the Gra asks, if you go to a court down here, first there's a cheshbon, then there's a din. The jury deliberates, and they come up with a psak, guilty, not guilty. So why is it first a din, a judgment, and then a deliberation? It should be the other way around. God has to deliberate, so to speak, and then come up with a psak for us on the Yom HaDin. So he gives a fascinating, scary answer also. Din is on what you did, on the mitzvot and the averis that you did. What's the cheshbon? Not only are you going to be punished for the averis that you did, Hashem is going to calculate what you could have been doing during that time while you're doing the Avera. To give you an example, I'm sure no one here does that. When you surf the internet, it's late at night, not ready for bed, you have like an hour to kill, so let me just go surfing. I'm not going to say the Beach Boys. It's not the Beatles. So, you go surfing. At the end of an hour, what did you do? Nothing. For the same hour that you were online, you could have listened to a shir. You could have gone to Torah Downloads and listened to me. So, that's the din v'cheshbon. The din is what you did. The cheshbon is what you could have done. The potential that you didn't reach. And the question is why you didn't reach it. And how does this happen? The shofar. I was thinking this is a little stretch. The sound of the shofar is in your lungs. So what you got to do with the shofar, you have to take the potential that's inside of you and blow to make the sound. We all have that potential of blowing the shofar. We all have that potential to make those sounds. You just got to bring it out. That's how you do it. You take the shofar and show that you do have the potential inside of you to bring out this mitzvah of the shofar. And just like you have the potential for shofar, you have the potential to do everything else over the next year. So what it comes down to, as we said in the past, is making those commitments in a smart, intelligent way that can help you bring out your potential. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. I want to be a Talmid Chacham tomorrow morning, and I go to sleep for 10 hours. It's not going to happen. But what it does happen, the way you do it, even though it could take a long time, and as impatient as we might be, really goes by learning a little bit every day. As the Chazal, if you learn two halachos in halach every day, you're guaranteed olam haba. Only two halachos a day? Yeah, because after the week, that's 14. After a month, it's 56. So last month, you knew nothing. Now you know 56 more halachos. It adds up. You just have to take small little steps, like we said a few weeks ago with the Truah. See, I want to master a Sefer. Let's say Mesiras Yesharim. Well, that takes a lifetime. But you got to start. There's Feldon came out with a new translation. But they break it down day by day. So if you go by their schedule, you can finish Mesiras Yesharim twice a year. So imagine going through Mesiras Yesharim twice a year. Sometimes it'll take 2 minutes to learn a day. Sometimes 5 minutes. But if you can go through Mesiras Yesharim once a year, twice a year, guarantee it's going to make an impression on you. Next time you're about to do something, you might think twice. Which is the goal. The whole goal of Mesiras Yesharim is to get you to think before you do something. We have the potential inside of us to do so much. You just got to make the commitment in a smart way, and we can do it. Don't overtax yourself. I think that's the Yetzirah also. When you say, there's so many things I want to do, that's the Yetzirah. I remember reading in an English Sefer that if you're born in Tishrei, it's very hard to make up your mind. That's the mazel of a Tishrei baby. Hard to make up your mind. When I read that, I almost dropped out of my hands. I'm a Tishrei baby. And whenever I'm learning, if I'm learning this Sefer, my head gets filled up of the thousand Svarim that I'm not learning. And I get distracted. That's my Yetzirah. So what I have to do is learn how to focus it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to go through the end. And then learn another Sefer. Because the problem is, if I don't finish this Sefer, I'm probably not going to learn the other Sefer, which I think I'm not learning. So there's two Svarim I'm not learning. So we got to learn to focus on our goals and bring out the potential slowly. How long does it take a tree to really get big? I don't know anything about trees, so. It takes a long time. And before you know it, it's a tree. So before you know it, you're a great person. And you look back at last year Rosh Hashanah, and you say, wow, I'm really not the same person as I was then. I improved. I got better. There's more to go, but I'm heading in the right direction. I think that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's just digging deep inside and realizing what potential is inside of us and coming up with a plan to bring it out, to reveal it. Not for anyone else, just for yourself. I think that's important. You want to bring out the potential for yourself, not to show up other people. That's Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is considered the first 2 days of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So even though we don't say any vidui or mention any sin on Rosh Hashanah, but there is an element of Teshuva on Rosh Hashanah. What is it? This is what I've been thinking about the last few days. You all know after Yom Kippur, the bracha we make as we break fast, you all know the kavanah we have when we make that first bracha on the orange juice or the cake, whatever it is. Because right after Yom Kippur, the hashpah, the influence, the inspiration is still with us. Then what happens is, you wake up the next morning, and it's not the same. You're not the same person. You go to shul, you put on your tefillin, or you daven, but you don't have the same oomph to it as you did a few days ago before Yom Kippur. Or you don't have, you know, your brachos don't have the same oomph as you did Motzei Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because on Yom Kippur, since we have the five inuyim, the physical things that we don't do, like the eating, the drinking, we are becoming more spiritual. I always tell my class, because they're fetching about when's the fast over. I tell you honestly, by the end, by Ne'ila, and I know when I was in Yeshiva, I had like a personal minhag, not to look at the clock during Ne'ila. Even though the clock was pretty much opposite my seat, I just kept my head down or looked in the moxer. Because at that point, who cares when it's over? I'm not starving, usually. And finally, when it's over, the feeling inside of you is so great. Who wants to eat? You enjoy the spot where you are now. Why? Because you're aligned with God. Your ratzon and his ratzon are on the same wavelength at that moment. And when you go home, and once you start eating and drinking, the compass starts to go off a little. Every so, a little bit. But you're not exactly in line with God. And as the year goes on, unfortunately, the compass that we're using is totally way off than the compass God is using. So what is Teshuvah? Teshuvah is return. What are we returning? We're trying to return our compass that it's in sync with what God wants from us. That's Teshuvah. We have to recognize that we're straight off the path. Our compass is leading us into a bad direction, the wrong direction. So we got to align it back. We have to try to push the compass back that the needle is going the right direction that God wants us to go in. So we have to return the compass to be in sync in the same direction that Hashem Yisparach wants us to be. As the Ovis says, do His will like it's your will. The will, the ratzon of you and Hashem have to be in line. Because if I have an agenda, I want to do this, and then someone tells me, but Allah is this, then I have a problem. Because my agenda conflicts with God's agenda. And if I don't like that, then I'm, depending how strong my agenda is, I can do whatever I want. I remember one time in Savannah, there was one Sunday, it was Free Museum Sunday. You get any museum for free. So the Reformed House of Worship had a museum in its basement. Because it's the third oldest place of worship in America. Behind Touro, I think, Charleston. So I went. And they have an interesting, they have a Sefer Torah made out of deer skin. A few interesting things that they had. Then I heard that there was a tour in the main sanctuary. So I stuck my head into hear what they're going to say. So the tour guide has his group in front of the Aron Kodesh with it open. And he said, this is one thing I really bought. If this was Orthodox, this wouldn't be happening. They wouldn't let you up here. I said, oh yeah? Like during the week? You're not allowed to go up there? News to me. And then he said something which was, I can't use the same words that he said. He said, reform is pretty much we do whatever we don't well please. He said it. That's reform. So if your agenda is so strong, you can end up doing whatever you don't well please. Because your compass is not in line with God's. And you're not willing to move your compass. So in other words, that's called avodah zarah. What's avodah zarah? You're taking God and molding him into the image that you want him to be. When it's supposed to be the opposite. God wants ourselves, wants us to mold ourselves into the image that he wants us to be in. Not the opposite. But it's easier to take God and change him than it is to change ourselves to God's will. But that's the idea of teshuva. That's why teshuva is so hard. I said, every year we come back and say, we bang ourselves. Why am I not where I want to be? Because it's a very difficult thing to change the compass of our life. Truly. That if someone says, that's the halacha, you say, fine, I won't do it, I can't do it. But especially like I'm saying, it comes to money and business. Someone say, that kind of transaction, not sure if it's 100% legal. So a true person who's in sync with God would say, fine, rip up the contract. It's not halakhically legal, not doing it. But if you're looking for the shtick, that we can do it this way and that way, then you're just trying to keep your agenda, which is not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do. So, Mirtz Hashem, we shall be zochah to ksiva v'chasima tova, a year of growth and health, and nachas from all our family. And Mirtz Hashem, we shall be zochah to see the ultimate revelation of Hashem Yisparach in the world, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, you always be zochah to see the true revelation of our potential from inside ourselves. Thank you for coming.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Beautiful. Mm.